Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came to his native place and taught the people in their synagogue. They were astonished and said, "Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty deeds? Is he not the son of the carpenter? Is not his mother named Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Are not all his sisters here with us? Where did this man get all this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and in his own house. And he did not work many mighty deeds there because of their lack of faith." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So over the past 8 days, we've been focused on the Lord's 8 parables about the kingdom in Matthew 13. And ultimately, it's all about the way that we respond as offer the kingdom, whether we have that good and fruitful soil bearing 30, 60, 100 fold, whether we're weeds or wheat, whether we're that beautiful fish or the rotten fish caught in the dragnet. Jesus comes immediately after all of that to Nazareth, hoping, of course, to find good soil, to receive the seed of what he would say and bear abundant fruit. The type of soil he obviously found in his mother, St. Joseph, who by this point seems quite clear had passed. But what did he find? First, when he spoke, and St. Luke gives us the blow-by-blow account of his reading from the scroll of Isaiah 61, they were astonished at the way he even proclaimed the Word of God. They were astonished at his one-sentence homily. Today, this scripture, all about the Messiah, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But that astonishment passed quickly to doubt. St. Matthew records that doubt. Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty deeds? We know who he is. We know where he's from. How can that do what we just saw him do? They began to doubt God's power. They began to doubt, frankly, the incarnation of God's grace in anyone, not to mention that Jesus would be far more than a prophet. And those doubts quickly passed to anger when Jesus said that a prophet's not without honor except in his native place, and described, as St. Luke and St. Mark remind us, what happened at the time of the famine, that it was only to the widow of Zarephath, a pagan, that Elijah the prophet was sent. There was only to a pagan named Naaman, whom the Lord had healed his leprosy, not to any Israelites. And that's when, in a rage, they went from amazement and astonishment to homicidal thoughts, attempting to murder Jesus as a mob tossing him off the cliff on which Nazareth had been built. Rather than good and fruitful soil, so many of his contemporaries were showing themselves to be the rotten fish who just wouldn't bite on any of the bait God the Father had cast in his Son. What's the practical lesson for us? Jesus, after these 8 days of preaching his parables, comes likewise to us. We are his family. We've been his family from the day of our baptism. We've become his dwelling place. What he wants always is to receive a totally joy-filled, fruitful welcome. And he does so in a particular way in the Holy Eucharist. Today in the first reading, we have the book of Leviticus, which is describing all the liturgical feasts of the Jews. And all of these find their culmination in the Holy Eucharist, the Passover. This is the new and eternal Passover. Unleavened bread remains, but it becomes leavened through the power of the Holy Spirit to be really Jesus, and we become one body with Him. The Day of Atonement, this is the great expiatory sacrifice. We offer Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity to the Father in expiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world. This is the culmination of Pentecost. As Pope Benedict likes to say, every Eucharist is a little Pentecost in which the same Holy Spirit who transforms bread and wine transforms us into the Lord, into His mystical body. Even the Feast of Booths at the very end. Feast of Booths, in which the Jews would leave their homes and go dwell in tents in the Jerusalem area to remind them of what happened in the desert. Jesus Himself, like He would do with David, didn't want a booth built for us to dwell. He wanted a booth. He wanted to build a booth for David. And the Lord comes to tabernacle Himself within us in Holy Communion. God wants receptivity to all of this work. Passover, from death to life, from sin to sanctity. He wants us to really make atonement in this. There's no greater way than what we do here. He wants us to cooperate 100% with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And wants us, like at that Feast of Booths, to dwell with Him. As we see what He did in John 7 on the Feast of Booths, right there at the Pool of Siloam, which He uses that whole image as a sign of the living water He wants to flow within us, and how He is the light of the world, because at the Feast of Booths you'd have this whole elaborate candle ceremony. Jesus is all of these things, and He wants us to embrace this reality. Today the Church celebrates for the 151st time the birth into eternal life of St. Peter Julian Aymar, this great apostle of the Eucharist, who had an extraordinary love for Jesus and wanted everybody else to share the receptivity to Jesus in Holy Communion that is what makes saints. In an interesting life, first become a La Salette priest, but they were not particularly keen on some of the things that he wanted to found, which was not so much part of their charism. So he became a priest of the Diocese of Grenoble. But then he was drawn to something more. It was the founding of the Marists. So he became a Marist. When he really wanted to start everything toward Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, they said, "We're Marian." Strangely enough, "We're not Eucharistic." So he decided to leave, with the help of the Bishop of Paris, started to found places for Eucharistic adoration. He was very touched by perpetual adoration and became its great apostle, founding the Society of the Blessed Sacrament, founding the Servants of the Blessed Sacrament, this women's religious order, founding a work apostolate so that people would be able to unite themselves to Jesus in the Eucharist throughout all their work, then founded the Archconfraternity of the Blessed Sacrament, so that all lay people would be able to take leadership in this receptive love of the Lord. How much we need Peter Julian Aymar's love for the Blessed Sacrament in order to be able to receive Jesus, who is way more than a prophet, in the way that He desires, in the way that He deserves. Today at this Mass, through His intercession, with God's help, let us sing a hymn of joy and thanksgiving to the Lord, who loves us so much that He comes here today. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.